In the next few weeks, I am going to be working with a group of University of Toledo students at Campus Ministries, teaching them a Bible study. They've asked me to do 14 weeks of Bible study, and over the last several weeks, and knowing that this was coming up, I've been putting together curriculum. If you know me, you know that I get kind of obsessive about these things, and I'm trying to figure out how to get it all in 14 weeks. They told me I got 14 sessions, and they're only 90 minutes each, so I just don't know how I'm going to cover it. And you are chuckling, I know, I mean, because it's, you know, that's a lot of time, right? But boy, there's a lot in the Scripture. And one of the first things I'm trying to do is to kind of take it to a theme. What's the theme? And what I've discovered and what I've decided is that my theme is going to be walking with God. Because from the beginning to the end, that's what the Scripture seems to be all about. Learning how to walk with God. And walking with God has different connotations. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, we walked with God, quite literally. When Jesus came to earth, the disciples walked with God. Everywhere they went, they walked with Jesus. Following after God was to walk with God in the Garden of Eden and in the earthly ministry of Jesus. And when that day comes where at last we'll all be reunited in heaven, we will once again walk with God. But each of us today have the opportunity to determine whether we will walk with God or whether we'll go our own way. Going our own way is a serious issue in the lives of every person as they grow up. We follow after our parents. We walk with them. And if they walk with God, then we have really no choice but to walk with God with them. We might drag our feet a little bit. We might go to church like a kid sits in a paint store. But we still have to be there with God. But then we have our own ability. We grow up. We leave the house. We set our own rules. And those rules might include walking with God, or they might include walking away from God. Some of us have walked on both paths, haven't we? We've spent time walking with God, but we've taken the scenic route going to where God has wanted us. And the Bible is filled with stories of men and women who have not walked worthy of the calling that God has had in their lives. Now, those who walk with God, we would say are wise, that they use wisdom in their lives. In fact, the Bible's filled with plenty of people who are wise, but the crowning jewel of biblical wisdom might well be in King Solomon. King Solomon, the wise one. Solomon was so wise that even superheroes understand how wise Solomon is. Next summer, there's going to be a new movie coming out. Now, the superhero's character used to be called Captain Marvel. But Marvel Comics doesn't want them to call him Captain Marvel anymore. So they're calling him Shazam. Shazam is the word that Captain Marvel in the old comics used to say. And then Billy Batson would become Captain Marvel. Well, Shazam's an acronym. The acronym is for the ancient heroes, and each one of them gave Captain Marvel. You notice I keep saying that over and over again? I'm poking Marvel in the eyes. They gave Captain Marvel his strength and his ability, and the S stood for who? Solomon. Because Shazam had the wisdom of Solomon. It's funny when you could watch a Saturday morning cartoon and learn about the Bible. Solomon had wisdom that confounded the entire world. And to this day, when we want to seek a hero from the past and say, who was the wise one? It's Solomon. Solomon walked with God. And when he walked with God, he was wise. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a clue. Solomon didn't always walk with God. Like most of us, he walked away from God at a time of his life. And that wisdom that Solomon had was contingent not on whether he was smart enough, but whether he was devoted to God in the walk. Wisdom doesn't come just because you're smart. Wisdom comes because you're connected to the fountain of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's this funny balancing act that we have in our life walk. When we walk with God, we're wise. And when we're wise, we walk with God. And when we stop walking with God, we tend to lose our wisdom. Why? Because our wisdom is contingent on our walk. Solomon knew that he had a difficult walk in front of him. Solomon was a young man and he was king. And Solomon hadn't gone through the difficult road that David did in preparing him to be a king. David had a kind of a gorilla's upbringing. And when I say gorilla, I don't mean G-O-R. I mean G-U-E-R. He was someone who had been attacked by the king. He was someone who was put forward in leadership, even as a young man. He had slain giants, and he had defeated armies. Solomon didn't have any of that on his resume. Solomon basically became king by default. All of the other princes had disqualified themselves. And so Solomon was the only one who was left. And when Solomon was raised as king, he understood how difficult that job was going to be. He had seen the mistakes of his father. His own birth was a product of one of those mistakes. And he had to deal with the difficulties of knowing that he was now in charge of thousands of people. That he was the judge and the ruler. And Solomon understood that in order for him to truly be king, he had to take on the heart of a servant, not of a king. And this pleased God. Because when leaders want to lead and they want to rule, then they become tyrants. Later on in Ephesians, you're going to hear that part of leading a family is to serve your family. If you lead as a tyrant, no one will follow. They might be forced to, but they won't give their best. Solomon went to God and said, God, help me to have a heart of service. Help me to serve you and to serve the people. Help me to have divine wisdom. And God said, Solomon, you got it right. I will give you wisdom, but not only wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth, I'm going to give you authority, because to whom God gives a little, and when we wisely use what God has given us, guess what God does? God multiplies what God gives. So when you're asked these questions, when you seek for your own life what you will do, how you will serve, how you will lead, make sure you understand the lesson of Solomon's wisdom. The first place where Solomon was wise was in asking to be a servant leader instead of to be a ruler who was protected by God. Wisdom means service. In fact, Solomon, in his wisdom, would later write a book, and he would write many what we know as Proverbs. And one of those Proverbs, perhaps the most popular of those, is when Solomon wrote that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. If you want to know wisdom, know God. If you know God, you have divine insight into the world, and you understand people if you understand God's story. We move now to the New Testament. And once again, walking is a part of this. This understanding of how we live our lives as walking with God is something that Paul is sharing with us in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul tells us to be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of our time, because the days are evil. I want to make sure you understand something. When you go to bed at night, whether you've gone to a high place, whether you're there to serve God, to worship at a Christian camp, whether you're preparing for Sunday morning worship the next day, or whether you're preparing for Monday morning work, each time you go to sleep, you are preparing yourself for the next day. I want to make sure you know that praying for wisdom is not something that only leaders and kings do. It's also something that each one of us should be doing. Because each day we wake up, we have to walk the walk. You've heard that, right? Many Christians, unfortunately, too many Christians, only talk the talk. There's the old joke about a person who's driving down the road and sees the gumball flashing lights behind them. Police officer pulls them over. Guy wasn't speeding, wasn't weaving in and out of traffic, has no idea. All he knows was that he was mad because he got the wrong takeout at McDonald's. And so, you know, he threw the hamburger, but he didn't expect to get pulled over for that. And the police officer comes up to the window, and the fella says what you're supposed to, right? How can I help you, officer? But then he added this: why did you pull me over? And the police officer said, well, you had the, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot bumper sticker, and I saw you losing your mind, and I thought maybe someone had stolen your car. You see, we say that we're Christian, but we don't always wisely walk as Christians, do we? We have to recognize that we have to make the most of our time on this earth. Now, making the most of our time doesn't mean that we have to manage our time appropriately, even though that's something that's always a good thing. Calendaring is important, making sure that you set aside time to pray. All of that is important. But when Paul says make the most of your time, what he's really saying is to put God first in your life. To know your calling. Remember, like Solomon, know that serving God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything we do. Knowing that God exists and God is watching is important for us. And you have to be intentional in this because of the second thing that Paul says in this. Because the days are evil. I want to pull out two things about the days of are evil. First of all, we normally think of the nights as being evil. Okay? You know, there's an old adage that nothing good happens after 2 in the morning if you're out. Okay? If you're out partying and it's after 2 in the morning, you know, football player, NCAA, NFL, you're going to end up in the newspaper somewhere. Because the nights are evil, right? And we all know that. It's something about the darkness. It hides things. We think we can get away with more. But Paul's telling us that it's the days that are evil. That means evil is now overwhelming everything. That means that it's not just receded into the corner of darkness, but it's right there in front of you every single time you open your eyes. Does it feel like the days are evil today? Does it feel like there's nowhere to go to get away from the evil that's out there? Well, you know that the days are evil when sitting in the current brings you to bad stuff. What I mean by that is when the flow of everything seems to be evil. It used to be that you had to look for garbage on television. Now you find it no matter where you go, right? I remember the first time the Viagra commercial interrupted a 7 o'clock show with the kids. And I had to explain what a little blue pill was all about. And it bothers me that I still have to do that. It bothers me that the things that are supposed to be in the darkness are now in the light. Because the days are evil. What that means is that when I get up in the morning, I've got to recognize that the world isn't going to help me be good. Being good, being godly, means swimming against the current, not just floating with it. There were times when it was easier to be Christian, wasn't it? Why? Because the current was with us. Everyone had at least a little bit of an expectation of what it means to be holy. But now there's no expectation. There's no agreement. But guess what? Wise people are ready for this. Wise people know that no matter what the situation, that the spirit of the age, the spirit of the day has always been against us. And so we need to get up in the morning and be prepared to walk with the Lord regardless of what the world is doing. And so every day that we get up, we wake up and we seek God's wisdom in prayer. We pray before we act. We pray before we function. We actively pursue God when we walk with God. I'm one of the shorter guys in my family. And because I'm a short person and I got little stubby legs, I walk really fast. And sometimes when I'm walking with someone, they got to catch up to me. You might know that I'm someone who's moving all the time. Yeah. And one of the things about that is that when you say, "Hey, Pastor Dan, I need to talk to you," I'll oftentimes say, "Follow me. Just come on. I got to go over there. I got to do two or three things. Walk with me." And when you walk with me, you got to keep up, right? God wants you to walk with him. But you got to keep up. You got to get up in the morning, put on your walking shoes, make sure you're ready to do the work that God has for you. Because it's not an easy job, but it's a worthy one. If you're going to have the wisdom of God, you've got to have the Holy Spirit in your life. And that Holy Spirit is something that you have to prepare for. You have to live righteous to hear the voice of God. Because God doesn't want to take you, God doesn't want to go where sometimes you go, to the dark places, to the evil places. One of the great things about when the Spirit of God fills you is being full means you can't put anything else in there. And in Ephesians 18, it talks about being filled by the Spirit, right? But guess what? If you're filled by the Spirit, then you can't be filled by other things. But I want to make sure you understand that it actually goes both ways. If you're filled with other things, you can't be filled by the Spirit. So be careful what you fill your life with. If you're filling your life with the wrong stuff, then you're going to have a difficult time. Okay? The first thing you've got to do is you've got to understand that you can be foolish. You've got a choice to make. Wisdom is one thing, and I wish it were that it was our default position as we woke up in the morning as Christians that we did the smart thing. But how many people have already done at least one stupid thing today? Is it just me? Okay? For some reason, we wake up and we're at the default position of foolish. Doing the wrong things, getting angry at the wrong things, getting frustrated. That's what I call being a jerk to my kids. When I'm acting like an idiot and I'm mad, I always tell them, "Daddy's just frustrated." That's what I would say. And they knew that frustrated was code for dad's in a bad mood. Keep away from him. Ever been frustrated? And act like a fool? If you knew what God's will in your life was, then you'd stop acting in foolish ways. And you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18-21, being filled has four things that Paul says are part of being filled. The first one, and this helps you avoid folly, when you're filled with the right stuff, you don't have room for the bad stuff. You eat your veggies, and you're going to avoid some of the nasty stuff that you really want to eat. The other day, I was hungry. I filled myself with a cucumber. Cucumbers, low calorie. What I love to do, I love string beans. It's string bean season. I love it. I'll buy a bag of raw string beans, and I'll eat them like they're potato chips. Great idea. Fill yourself up with the good stuff. And then you won't be chewing the stuff that makes you feel sick in the morning. And if you fill yourself with the good stuff spiritually, then guess what? You'll avoid sin in your life. So what are you supposed to do? Well, first thing, speak in positive ways. Scripture-centered speech. Take a look in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. 18. First thing he says is don't get drunk. Don't fill yourself with the bad stuff. Because the spirits that are in the bottle aren't going to help you to get to the spirit that's in the Lord. The second thing in 19, he says speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So what he's telling you is to speak scripture. The language of scripture. What does that mean? That means be positive to other people. Be loving. Be grace-filled. When you say something that's edifying. I love that word, edifying. What does it mean? It builds up other people. Wisdom is about serving God and other people. So edifying speech, what is it? It's not self-serving. When I'm angry, I use self-serving speech. And my self-serving speech elevates me and lowers everyone else. I get angry and I yell at the waitress at the restaurant. I get angry and I demean my children. I get angry and my words, my speaking, destroys instead of lifts up. So, first thing. Wise people edify in their speech. They say good and loving things. They accentuate the positive and make sure that God is blessed in everything you say. The second thing, sing a happy song. Sing hymns and songs of praise. Whistle while you work, folks. That's really what it means. When it says sing songs of praise, what it means is that when you're singing a good song, then you know what's happening? Your life is being filled with joy. I promise you, there's some songs that you might like to sing, but they're not good songs. There's certain songs that, I mean, you know, think about the history of pop music. You think about how many songs are misogynistic and violent. And the other day, after Aretha Franklin died, they played Aretha Franklin cut of Amazing Grace, and it just broke me. When you hear her sing Respect, what does it do? It lifts. It empowers. Those positive songs. When I hear the songs that we sang today, it lifted me up. Sing. Fill yourself with those great, joyful things. Give thanks in all things. Is it any surprise that a thankful heart is a heart that's filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, when you're thankful for what you have, you don't envy others for what they have. Thankful hearts are hearts that are prepared to serve and to love other people. And then finally, this one gets us into trouble because we actually read verse 22 in Ephesians 5 without reading verse 21. Okay, if you've ever read Ephesians 5:22, that's what gets pastors in the news. Because they preach that passage. In case you don't remember, here's what it says. Wives, submit to your husbands. Bam! Controversy, right? How dare you tell me to submit to my husband? Well, Paul wasn't really talking about that. What did he say in verse 21? Submit to one another. In fear of Christ. What is he saying before he says, wives submit to husbands? Everyone submit to each other. Why? Because your life is going to be better if you serve your neighbor. I love the old story, and I've told it before. It's worth saying again. It's the old parable of heaven. And someone had a dream that they were in heaven and that they were transported into hell. And hell was a big table, and there was food in the middle, and everyone had long spoons. And the spoons were so long that when they got the food out, that they couldn't reach their own mouths. And so the people there at the table were reaching in, getting food, and they couldn't feed themselves, and they were getting angry and frustrated, and they were cursing. And that was hell. And then the man was transported into heaven, and it was the same table. And the food was in the center of the table, and the people at the table had the same spoons, and they were too long for them to reach their own mouths. But the people in heaven dipped their spoon into the food, and what did they do? They fed the person on the other side of the table, and everyone ate. The difference was one of attitude. It was one of submitting to the other. If you're willing to feed your neighbor, let me tell you something. It doesn't work if they're not willing to feed you. A church that submits to one another needs, you need to think as much of me as I think of you. And then as a family, we move together. Submitting to one another means that it's all of our responsibility to take care of each other. We are all others first in our thinking. God wants you to be wise. The world is in a miserable place today. The days are indeed evil, aren't they? But guess what? You follow a good God. The days are folly and foolishness, but you follow a wise God. And if you want to change your world, don't expect for politicians to get better until we become better. You'll never have someone good to vote for unless you are worthy of being voted for. At some point, we have to raise the level of discourse. And instead of finding reasons to complain, we must find reasons to worship. We must find reasons to be thankful. We must find new songs to sing, new words to bless other people with, and we must find an attitude of service in all that we do. Because here's the truth. God wants to raise you up as kings and queens. God wants to put you in authority. And God wants you to have the heart to serve when you get there. I ask that you'd pray for the church. The church has sought for too long to serve ourselves. It's time for us to learn how to be godly and wise, generous in what we do, serving our communities, taking care of our children, singing the great songs, sharing words of peace, praise, that edifies the world around us. It's time for us to show the world and not just tell the world that Jesus Christ is love and that his people follow and walk with him in all ways. Today's an opportunity that you have to make a change in your life. It's not about making new spoons, folks. It's about learning new attitudes and new ways to serve. You've been given everything you need. Now we have to use it to glorify God and to serve each other. Let's pray. Loving God, you have called us to live in the light in the midst of a darkened world. You've called us to be filled by your Holy Spirit in a world that is filled with drunkenness and rage. You've called us to be distinct and creatures of the light in a world that is covered in darkness. The days are evil, but the people of God, with one word, can fell the largest and the strongest of dragons. Loving God, help us to be men and women who edify the world, who bless the world around us, who change the world by the Spirit of God. Help us to embrace the wisdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and to live new lives, to be careful how we walk, and to walk with the Lord. Loving God, help us to stretch ourselves to fulfill your will. Help us to be emptied of our sin and our personal problems so that we might be filled by your Spirit. Help us to be transformed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, in order that our world might be transformed by the love and the grace that you filled us with. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself, filled with your Spirit, and who walked the walk of God. In his name we pray it. Amen. Let's conclude our time together with...